hearing of the Capital Investment Committee for March 8th is called to order. This remote hearing is taking place in accordance with House Rule 10.01 and is being live streamed by the House Public Information Office. Mr. Wilcox, please take the roll.
Chair Lee.
Lee present.
Lee present. Vice Chair Murphy.
Present.
Murphy present. Representative Erdahl.
Present.
Erdahl present. Representative Igbajeh. Igbajeh present. Representative Berg?
Present.
Berg present. Representative Davids?
Davids present.
Davids present. Representative Frankie?
Frankie present.
Frankie present. Representative Freiberg?
Present.
Freiberg present. Representative Hansen?
Present.
Hansen present. Representative Hewitt?
Present.
Hewitt present. Representative Lilly?
Lilly present.
Lilly present. Representative Lucero?
Lucero present.
Lucero present. Representative Moran. Representative Moran. Representative Pearson.
Pearson present.
Pearson present. Representative Raleigh.
Raleigh present.
Raleigh present. Representative Rasmussen.
Rasmussen present.
Rasmussen present. Representative Ryer.
Ryer present.
Ryer present. Representative West.
Present.
West present. Representative Zhang.
Present.
Zhang present. And Representative Moran. All right, Mr. Chair, we do have a quorum.
Quorum is present. Chair Murphy, may I have a motion to approve the minutes for Thursday, March 3rd?
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the minutes for Thursday, March 3rd as they're printed.
Chair Murphy moves approval of the minutes for Thursday, March 3rd. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the minutes for Thursday, March 3rd are approved. Members, today we will hear several transportation related bills. As is our custom, bills will be heard on an informational basis only. It is a full agenda and for members presenting and for your testifiers, you've been allotted 6 minutes. And so please keep your remarks short. First on the agenda is Representative Ryer, House File 2984. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee. Thank you, committee members. I'm pleased to introduce House File 2948 today. So I'm always happy to advocate for trails and the benefits they bring our community. This bill requests $10,700,000 for the Veterans Memorial Greenway in Dakota County. This new greenway connects the beautiful Lebanon Hills Regional Park with the very well-used Mississippi River Greenway. Right now, there's simply no safe way to get from one to the other. This is a major gap that affects trail users across the regional trail system as a whole. In addition to the serious safety need, the design has other important features, includes a veterans memorial installations along the greenway and a community gathering center. As the mom of a disabled veteran, this is very meaningful to me. Also, it connects one of Invergrove Heights' most economically challenged, diverse, and populous areas with these recreational resources, supporting the need for equity-focused investments in our community. In short, this project addresses access, equity, and safety, and for those reasons, I think it's an excellent investment with broad regional value. With that, I'd like to welcome our testifiers, Dakota County Commissioner Joe Atkins and Mr. Quinnell Cooper, Principal Pine Bend Elementary, to tell us more about the project.
Welcome back, Commissioner Atkins. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joe Atkins, Dakota County Commissioner, former legislator. It's nice to see so many old friends. I miss you. Not enough, though, that I would run for the open seat in Inver Grove, but look forward to seeing you in person again soon. I will start mostly by saying thank you, Mr. Chairman. You'll recall 2 years ago you provided $5 million in funding for phase one. We've made extraordinary progress in honoring our veterans and protecting pedestrians. We've got full land control over phase one. We've got a detailed alignment set forth. We've completed or nearly completed design. We've had our veterans groups engaged and supportive and active in supporting the project. We've met with the railroad and made just exceptional progress. And I just wanted to start, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, by saying thank you. What we've discovered and anticipated in the course of this is that the two underpasses at the state's highways, Highway 52, sometimes known as the Lafayette Freeway, and Highway 3, sometimes known as Robert Trail, are both extraordinarily expensive. That's the $10.7 million that we are seeking to provide the underpasses on the state's highways. This connects this Dakota County's busiest park to Dakota County's busiest trail. It's over 1 million users at Lebanon Hills and nearly 250,000 users of Mississippi River Greenway. In between are two busy highways, an active rail line, a county highway. At its busiest along those highways, you'll get 50 to 100 vehicles a minute that are passing through. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to answer your questions, but I want to turn it over to Principal Cunell Cooper from Pine Bend Elementary School to talk about some of the concerns that they have and the benefits of the Veterans Memorial Greenway.
Principal Cooper, please identify yourself and proceed.
Good morning. I'm Cunell Cooper, principal of Pine Bend Elementary. It's a pleasure to be here with you all and be able to share how important this Memorial Greenway will be to our students. Once again, many of our families currently have no safe way to be able to walk or ride across the highway of 52. And once again, the Nature Center and Park is essentially unavailable to them right now. And we're only located about a mile away. What this would do is that this will provide them completely free access and use to the nature and the park. And it's important because close to 40% of our students meet federal requirements to qualify for free and reduced lunch. And this is an easy way for our students and family to be able to access all of these natural areas. As I look at our school at Pine Bend, every day we're taking steps to be a green school, and this will fit right into our mission, what we want to do here. So once again, our students and families, thank you for the efforts in moving forward with this Memorial Highway.
Thank you, Principal Cooper. Members, any questions for Representative Ryer or her testifiers? Seeing none, Representative Ryer, any closing comments?
No, thank you for the opportunity to present this project.
Thank you, Representative Ryer. Next up, we have Representative Bierman, House File 2362. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Today, we will present House File 2362, which addresses a safety issue in our community. This is an unfinished piece of the Cedar Avenue Transit Corridor. Here today, we have, to answer any questions, our Public Works Director, Mr. Matt Sam, our Community Development Director, Mr. Bruce Nordquist, and to present today, our Honorable Mayor, Mr. Clint Hoopaw. Mr. Chair?
Mr. Mayor, please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee. I'm going to share a few brief slides. And you should all be able to see those.
We can. Please proceed.
Thank you.
Maybe you want to have it as a presentation.
There we go. All right. Thank you, Chair Lee. I am Clint Hoopaw, Mayor of Apple Valley, and we appreciate the opportunity to share with you and the committee on HF 2362. A little background on Apple Valley. We are a self-metro suburban community of about 56,000 people. As you can see from the land use map, Apple Valley is unusual for many suburban communities in that we have a well-defined commercial corridor, which you can see in red in the center of your map. As this corridor has grown, as well as our surrounding communities of Lakeville, Rosemont, and Farmington, the traffic volumes in our downtown area have increased, making it harder for pedestrians and bicyclists to navigate. At the epicenter is Cedar Avenue and County Road 42, one of the busiest at-grade intersections in the state. At that location, it's actually 10 lanes wide. We're contending with 46,000 vehicles per day on Cedar Avenue and about 36,000 vehicles per day on County Road 42, which you can see in this slide. This corridor is home to many employers, a few of which are pictured here. So the safety need for all forms of transportation is paramount in this area. Slide 8 here, we actually see that this adjacent to this area is many new residential units. There's roughly 1,000 new residential units in this area. And these units house everywhere, anything from young professionals, and there are also two senior developments. So we truly have a range of population and ages living immediately adjacent to our downtown community. This area is also a key transit way serving both Metro Transit and MBTA, both of which you can see represented here. In 2013, Apple Valley Transit Station located at Cedar Avenue and 155th Street opened to safely accommodate pedestrians in the southern portion of the downtown. And the skyway there was constructed at that point, allowing pedestrians to pass safely over Cedar Avenue in this location. With this location is about a half mile from the current Cedar Avenue and 42 location. And the new skyway location is shown in the red dot that just appeared on your screen. In addition to improving safety, this also will help with traffic flow in the area. You can see when this is the current condition at Cedar and 147th. This was built to accommodate the skyway and a future connection. Just a quick shot of what traffic conditions often look like in this area. This is an artist's rendering of what the plug-and-play skyway system would look like. Again, this was originally engineered to house this in a future build. Why it's needed. This is a safe crossing for Cedar Avenue at 147th Street. This improves traffic flow through a congested downtown area. Every time the cross arm is signaled, it does change the timing of the lights, which does slow traffic flow in both Cedar and 42 in both those intersections. This also helps support transit ridership along the Cedar Avenue corridor. You saw the transit station in the picture directly served by this skyway. And there is a bit of finish to the job. This was a piece that was contemplated in the original build back in 2013 and removed due to funding considerations at that time. Cost, this is slightly different than what you see in your bill. It's actually a reduction. The total estimated budget is $6.2 million. The 50% bonding request is $3.1 million. So it is less than what we showed in the original bill, which I hope to be good news. Any questions from committee or from the chair?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members, any questions for Representative Bierman and or his testifiers? Seeing none, Representative Bierman, any closing comments?
Just a thank you to the mayor and the staff for presenting, and thank the committee members for considering this improvement on safety in our community. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Bierman. Next up is Representative Bona, House File 3203. Please proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. I am grateful to be here with you this morning to present House File 3203. This is an issue I inherited from former Representative Dwayne Sauk, who was a member of this committee. I'm excited to continue the good work done previously and into the future for this area, region, and state on the Rochester International Airport. This is a request for a technical timing extension to use funding that was already allocated from the 2020 bonding bill. So I just want to be clear that there is no additional state funding needed beyond the $11.4 million that was included in the 2020 bonding bill. This is purely a timing extension request to ensure that all phases of the seven-year project can be completed. So before I turn it over to John Reed, Executive Director with the Rochester International Airport, I just want to call your attention to the three letters of support in your packet from the Rochester Area Chamber of Commerce, Mayo Clinic, and Olmsted County. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would like to turn it over to Mr. Reed.
Mr. Reed, please identify yourself and proceed.
Good morning, Chair. My name is John Reed. I'm the Executive Director for Rochester International Airport. My thanks to you as chair and members of the House Capital Investment Committee for the opportunity today. As Representative Bolden said, this is really a timing extension request to ensure that the project's able to be completed. There's no ask for additional state funding beyond the $11.4 million that was included in the 2020 bonding bill. As you know, typically bonding funds are only available to be used for 4 years. This project is projected to have a time frame of approximately 7 years to completion. The project is receiving sizable federal funding for each phase of each project, and we aim to secure the state funding match for the entire 7 years during the duration of this project with this particular bill. Wanting to report back to you so that you know we're already well underway. Phase one was completed in the fall of 2021 on time and under budget. Phase two's already bid, and we'll be breaking ground on that phase as soon as the frost is out of the ground. So we're already making great headway towards completion. I'll keep your time short today and conclude by asking for your consideration to include HF 3208 in the bonding bill, which again, this does not request additional funds, but simply a request for a 7-year window to align with all of our federal dollars for completion of the project. And with that, my thanks to the chair and the committee as a whole.
Thank you, Director Reed. Members, any questions for Representative Bowden or her testifier? Seeing none, Representative Bowden, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee, for your consideration of this important project in our community. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Bowden. Next up, we have Chair Murphy, House File 2681. Please proceed, Chair Murphy.
Thank you very much. The Northern Lights Express, you've heard my presentations several times on this, but today we have the chair of the Alliance of the Northern Lights Express with the cities along the way with us today, and Frank Lettery of the DOT can give us an update from the department and from the Amtrak officials that say this is one of the most shovel-ready issues or transportation asks in the country. We're ready. We're ready to go. We want this funded, permanently funded, and it would bring the train from the East Coast to Minneapolis, from Minneapolis to Duluth and Superior, and from Duluth to Superior back down and connect with the West Coast of the United States and the world. We have the ports up there, and this is a fixed railroad line. It is not light rail. It is a fixed railroad line that will use the same rails as the wonderful transportation routes for freight train throughout Minnesota and connecting Minnesota and the Port of Duluth with the world. I would like Andrew Johnson, the chair of the Northern Lights Express Alliance, Minneapolis City Council member, to give his pitch.
Council Member Johnson, welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, committee members. I'm Minneapolis City Council Member Andrew Johnson. I'm the chair of the Northern Lights Express Joint Powers Alliance Board, also the chair of Minneapolis Public Works and Infrastructure Committee. With me today is Frank Letterly from MnDOT's Passenger Rail Office. Thank you, Vice Chair Murphy, for the introduction. You've been a solid supporter for this project from the very beginning, and we appreciate all you've done to return passenger rail between Minneapolis and Duluth Superior. Chairman Lee, members of the House Capital Investment Committee, thank you for your past investments in Northern Lights Express. Those investments and a lot of time and effort have brought us to where we're at today, because we are ready to build. Now that this bipartisan infrastructure law has been passed, the federal government is ready to build. We know that Amtrak is ready to build, and this project is on their Connect Us list of rail projects they endorse. We are asking that the state of Minnesota be ready to build as well. Here's a short 2.5-minute video we'd like to share explaining where we're at now with the Northern Lights Express project.
Ignite. Imagination. The Northern Lights Express will provide high-performance intercity passenger rail service between Minneapolis and Duluth. As an alternative travel option, NLX will be safe, reliable, and frequent. Using the latest Amtrak equipment, NLX will provide 4 round trips per day, topping speeds of 90 miles per hour, getting you from the Twin Ports to the Twin Cities in 2.5 hours. With stops in 6 cities, including Minneapolis, Coon Rapids, Cambridge, Hinckley, Superior, and Duluth, travel will be more comfortable and convenient to get to college, work, medical appointments, family gatherings, and getaways.
The Northern Lights Express is beneficial because it allows students like me to be able to access transportation north to south of Minnesota very easily, rather than owning a car, rather than riding the bus.
Once at your destination, you'll have connections to a wide range of transit options, including light rail, bus lines, and bike trails. A recent study found 88% of those surveyed are in favor of Northern Lights Express, with nearly as many supporting the use of state funding to make it a reality. If Minnesota invests $85 million, we'll be eligible for up to 80% federal funding, or more than $340 million to build NLX now. Improvements made to the existing tracks for safety, reliability, and capacity will also benefit the movement of freight, adding efficiency to our nation's supply chain.
You know, any project that modernizes and improves the Grassy Point Railroad Bridge essentially improves the reliability of the transportation network in this region.
The Northern Lights Express is shovel-ready and is estimated to create approximately 3,000 new jobs during construction and an average of 500 jobs annually.
These are good jobs, good paying jobs for building trades, for transportation, and jobs that support all Minnesota families.
From concerts to sporting events, NLX will also foster tourism activity with an estimated revenue of $400 million over a 40-year period. Connecting people and places, Northern Lights Express is ready to go with your support. Contact your elected officials.
There we go. I think I stopped sharing my screen now. So this project missed an opportunity for federal dollars from the various stimulus bills before because we didn't have a finding of no significant impact when those funds were available. But now that we have a finding of no significant impact, we don't want to miss this chance for 80% of the project to be paid for with money from the new bipartisan infrastructure law. In that law, the Federal Railroad Administration has $16 billion set aside for projects like Northern Lights Express. There's also another $2 billion that the FRA has for grade crossing improvements. It can also be used for portions of this project. That's important because besides preparing the existing railroad track for Northern Lights Express, this will also make a substantial investment in improving freight operations on the line. Amtrak's Connect Us plan lists this new route that Amtrak wants the FRA to fund. Of the 30 pair cities on that list, only one has a finding of no significant impact, and that's ours. That's the one shovel-ready project, and we're ready to build the Northern Lights Express. Also, just quick throw in a plug that I happen to have the VA hospital in my ward. It's a great asset for the entire state of Minnesota, and so being able to get veterans from the North Shore reliably down for their medical appointments and treatments is an important responsibility and way that we can support our veterans as well. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I am wondering if there are any questions that myself or Frank Letterly from MnDOT can answer for members.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Chairman Lee and maybe Councilman Johnson. So over a year's time, how many riders do you expect to use this?
Councilmember Johnson or Mr.
I'll turn that to Frank for the latest study on that.
Mr. Letterly, please identify yourself and proceed.
My name is Frank Letterly. I work for the Minnesota Department of Transportation in the Office of Freight Commercial Vehicle Operations and Passenger Rail. We anticipate opening day to carry somewhere between 700 and 750,000 people per year, and that will rise to over a million riders in the first 20-year period.
Representative Erdahl.
Okay, thank you, Chair Lee. And just wondering, you know, one of the concerns frequently brought up is not so much the cost of the construction of a line or the reconstruction of a line, of operational costs. How do you anticipate that being paid for?
Mr. Letterly.
The first 6 years of operating costs are eligible for a federal grant, and that's part of the bipartisan infrastructure bill. The first year would be paid 80% by the federal government and would be declining 20% per year. So we would have the opportunity in the first 6 years to demonstrate the viability of the project. And I believe that in opening day that we would be getting a fare box recovery ratio of somewhere between 65 and 70%. And if we are successful in carrying the ridership that we anticipate, we should be very close to paying for the operation of the route through people paying for tickets to ride the train.
Representative Erdahl.
Okay, thank you, Chair Lee. Thank you for the answer. Appreciate Representative Murphy bringing up Grassy Point Bridge again. I've been hearing about it for many years. I really need to go up there and, you know, see it close hand again. But thank you.
Seeing no other questions, Chair Murphy, any closing comments?
Please look through your packets, members, because this time we have many supporting letters and groups that are supportive of this, and we're acknowledging this is our best shot. And we welcome your yes vote when the time comes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Murphy. Next on the agenda is Representative Torkelson, House File 2941. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Ali, for hearing this bill today. And I'm happy to be here in front of the committee. I'm Paul Torkelson, State Rep 16B. This bill deals with the MRSI fund, the fund that our short line railroads utilize for improvements, both through grant and loan programs. I will not take much time because I know you're in a hurry, and I have a testifier who knows a lot more about short line railroads than I ever will. I just will say that a healthy short line railroad industry in Minnesota keeps bulk freight off our highways. And as a transportation guy, anytime we can put more weight on the rails and less weight on our roads, it benefits all of us. I will now call on my testifier, Mr. Mark Wegner, to fill in some details.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Mr. Wegner, please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee and Representative Torkelson. My name is Mark Wegner. I'm president and CEO of the Twin Cities and Western Railroad. The TCNW operates 229 miles of track running from St. Paul, Minnesota to Milbank, South Dakota. For the past 30 years, we have run through some of the most productive agricultural areas in Western Minnesota, hauling grain, fertilizer, ethanol, lumber, limestone, and a variety of other farm-related freight. I'm also president of, and I'm here on behalf of, the Minnesota Regional Railroads Association, which includes 18 freight railroads, large and small, that provide freight rail service to and from Minnesota rail shippers, large and small, to the national and international marketplace. The map you see shows the large railroads, and then in color are all the short lines across the state of Minnesota. I'm pleased to speak in support of Representative Torkelson's bill. It'll provide $20 million in added funding for the Minnesota Rail Service Improvement Program, MRSI, also known as the MRSI program. MRSI is a grant and loan program managed by MnDOT that provides funding for improvements to short line railroads and for rail shippers. Short line railroads are the smaller operations that provide the first and last mile service to local, mainly rural, businesses and communities. Representative Torkelson's bill will help offset some of the very expensive costs of replacing our state's aging rail infrastructure. In the 2015 state rail plan, the costs of getting the Minnesota short line railroad track standards to those of the large railroads they connect to as exceeding $250 million. Railroading is a very capital intensive business. Replacing track, some of which is over 80 years old, can cost as much as $500,000 per mile. Replacing a bridge can cost as much as $10 million. And as to the annual track and infrastructure maintenance we do to assure safe freight rail operations can run from $15,000 to $20,000 per mile. For small railroads that struggle to meet these costs, the Mercy program can help them make upgrades to their infrastructure, which improves service for rail shippers. And these improvements, in turn, often generate new investments by those customers they serve and motivate new investments by new customers. It was really cool. Railroads only exist for one reason. That's to move stuff. Investing in Minnesota short line railroads directly benefits the producers, businesses, and communities they serve. That keeps our economy strong, like our agricultural and mining sectors, where we rank first in the nation in movement of iron ore and third and fourth, respectively, in origination of farm and food products. And finally, let me note that railroads move more freight more efficiently with less impact on the environment. The average rail car carries 3 times more freight than a large truck, and locomotives are roughly 3 times more fuel efficient with 75% less emissions than trucks. States around Minnesota have been investing in their railroads for years. We want to thank Chair Lee and Representative Torkelson for understanding the importance of doing the same for our state. I'm happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Thank you, Mr. Wagner. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Chair Lee. And over the years, we recognize the importance of our short line railroads. And maybe I'll just ask Representative Torkelson, does a portion of this go through Renville County?
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Chair Lee. Thank you, Representative Erdahl, for that question. Yes, a portion of it does, and it stretches all the way across. These short lines are all over rural Minnesota, doing the hard work of moving our...
Thank you. I just need to know for sure about Renville County.
I understand.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. Members, any additional questions for Representative Torkelson? Seeing none, Representative Torkelson, any closing comments?
Just very briefly, Chair Lee, I know that Frank Letterly, if members have more detailed questions, could answer questions about the program. I'll just say that demand for this program has far exceeded the amount of funds available. There's a great need out there, and I appreciate your hearing this bill, and I look for strong support in the future. Thank you, Chair Lee.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Next up, we have Chair Houseman, House File 3160. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing the bill. Ms. Nash, I'm assuming Brian Nelson is on my testifier.
He is.
Thank you. I want to provide the motivation for this presentation for you to hear the message. And that is that on the development of passenger rail, intercity passenger rail, we trail our Midwest economic competitors. I'm a commissioner on the Minnesota Interstate Passenger Rail Commission. And when I go to their meetings and hear the plans of all the other states, I am heartbroken that Minnesota isn't there aggressively. Kansas, Texas, Missouri, Indiana, they're all moving aggressively on this. I have a testifier, Brian Nelson from All Aboard Minnesota. They have done all the work on this bill. They've done the economic studies. So I invite you to hear his testimony.
Mr. Nelson, welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Brian Nelson, and I represent All Aboard Minnesota, a nonprofit citizen organization dedicated to the development of fast, frequent intercity passenger rail service within Minnesota and connecting us to the upper Midwest. You should have all received our one-page fact sheet, our regional passenger rail map, and letters in your committee packets. I'm here to testify in favor of House File 3160, which would provide $26 million to help build out the state rail passenger rail plan. House File 3160 would fund two key routes that connect rural Minnesota communities to regional and metropolitan centers, and these routes would allow the flow of dollars and people to and from these communities that are largely only accessible today by car. In the map that we provided, you can see these two key routes. Last year, the legislature passed funding to complete the second daily train between the Twin Cities and Milwaukee and Chicago, and this bill would fund this route from the Twin Cities to Fargo-Moorhead along the I-94 corridor. It would also provide funding for new passenger rail service from the Twin Cities South through Owatonna, Faribault, Albert Lea, connecting us to Des Moines and Kansas City. These routes were chosen because they offer the most potential as defined by ridership and population served, infrastructure already in place, existing private investment, and cost effectiveness. Finally, the bill would allow MnDOT to study a dedicated passenger rail main line between Minneapolis and St. Paul downtowns, something railroads are likely to ask for because of capacity demands. It would also provide funding for a maintenance facility to service the two new routes mentioned and to service the Northern Lights Express, which we've already heard about. So what are some of the benefits to Minnesota? These routes would provide expanded rail service to more than 30 Minnesota communities that are within 25-mile radiuses of the routes and serve about 70% of the state's population, and that excludes the Twin Cities. Passenger rail provides a mobility option for a variety of audiences. Winter driving conditions can be treacherous along I-94 and I-35, which these two routes parallel, in winter, especially for the elderly already hesitant to drive in these conditions. Even in some of the worst winter weather conditions, the trains will be running. The route south from the Twin Cities to Des Moines and Kansas City would offer a direct connection for Minnesotans to Amtrak train serving.
Sir Nelson, your computer is coming in and out. Maybe Denver, it'll help if you have your video off.
Cities in Texas, Phoenix, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. Currently, passengers must first connect to these services in Chicago. These two routes would not just move Minnesotans to their destinations, but people from Fargo. That might help. Sorry about that. Thank you. These two routes would not just move Minnesotans to their destinations, but people from Fargo, Des Moines, bringing with them dollars to spend and are invested in passenger rail service. $3, especially important for small and medium-sized communities. We estimate on track and signal improvements on the southern Minnesota route, and Burlington Northern Santa Fe has spent at least $325 million on the Twin Cities to Fargo route. This provides a tremendous discount to the state for expansion of passenger rail service. Finally, as Representative Hausman mentioned, we have seen other states expand passenger rail service with high ridership numbers in Michigan, Illinois, Virginia, and North Carolina. We would like to thank Representative Hausman for authorizing this legislation and Chair Lee and the committee for hearing this bill today. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. It might be helpful for you to provide us with a written piece of your testimony since it was going in and out.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Members, any questions for Chair Hausman or her testifier? Seeing none, Chair Hausman, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for your attention.
Thank you, Chair Hausman. Next up on the agenda is Representative Jordan, House File 3767. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for hearing my bill today. House File 3767 funds the next expansion in arterial bus rapid transit, the H Line. The proposed H Line would extend from downtown Minneapolis to the U of M, across St. Paul, and end at the Sunray Shopping Center via Como and Maryland Avenues. This line would connect students to their colleges and universities, workers with over 170,000 jobs, customers with businesses, families with parks and libraries, congregants with their places of worship, and so much more. The existing Route 3 already has some of the highest ridership in the Metro Transit system, and with a modern, safe, and convenient bus route, use will only grow. I'd be happy to talk about ABRT all day, and today I might get to, but I know time is limited. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to turn over testimony from Councilmember Payne of the Minneapolis City Council, and afterwards we'd be happy to answer questions. There are also folks from Met Transit and Met Council to answer technical questions.
Councilmember Payne, welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee, and thank you, committee members. My name is Elliot Payne. I represent Ward 1, which is Northeast and Southeast Como neighborhoods in Minneapolis. And I'm here to express my support for the H-Line and bus rapid transit broadly. The H-Line runs along the southern border of my ward. And as Representative Jordan said, it is this vital connection between Minneapolis, the University of Minnesota, and St. Paul. And I want everyone in our region to be able to live well without a car. Investing in adequate transit isn't just important because it'll improve accessibility and reduce carbon emissions. It's also an incredibly important issue when it comes to racial justice. People of color pay a huge transit penalty in our city. They spend the equivalent of an additional 4 weeks of time getting to and from work. And this penalty is time spent away from family, time spent away from the community. And these investments can help close this gap and deliver racial equity and economic inclusion for our city. I really appreciate the time to share that. And I will leave questions open.
Thank you, council member. Members, any questions for Representative Jordan or her testifier? Seeing none, Representative Jordan, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. BRT is important. This is the next step. I hope to earn your support.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. Next up is Representative Demmer, House File 3037. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. And House File 3037 works with the Gateway Trail, which attracts over 125,000 people each year through that area of the state of Minnesota. And it's been an honor to work with the city of Scandia, and I'd like to first introduce the mayor of the city of Scandia, Mayor Majewski, and then she will introduce Lisa Filippi, who is the board member of the Friends of Scandia Parks and Trails. So, Mayor Majewski.
Madam Mayor, please identify yourself and proceed.
All right, thank you and good morning very much. Chair Lee, Vice Chair Murphy, Representative Erdahl, and all members of the Capital Investment Committee. Thank you very much for meeting with us this morning, the Scandia delegation, to learn more about HF 3037, the Gateway Trail expansion into Scandia. It's a most important and beneficial project for Scandia, the Northeast Metro, and the St. Croix Valley region. I would like to now introduce Lisa Filippi, who has been spearheading the effort and who will present to you about the project. Lisa?
Madam Mayor, can you identify yourself first?
I'm sorry. It's Christine Majewski, Mayor of the City of Scandia.
Thank you, Mayor. Next up is Ms. Filippi. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Hi, I'm Lisa Filippi, and I'm on the board of Friends of Scandia Parks and Trails. Thank you, Chairman Lee and committee members for allowing us to speak. I'm going to share a PowerPoint presentation, so just bear with me. So this is a Gateway Trail extension into Scandia. Cycling is a growing trend that can be a growth driver for communities. The pandemic has brought sizable increases of bike riders across many demographics and regions, and e-biking has become very popular. Here is the long-term vision for the Gateway Trail. The Gateway Trail here in dark blue is a 19-mile trail from St. Paul to Pine Point Park in Washington County. The trail attracts about 125,000 visitors a year and is the most popular biking trail in the Minnesota. Here is, in the light blue, is the anticipated long-term vision for this trail. It would go through, when it leaves Pine Point Park, it would go through the Wilder Forest into William O'Brien State Park, up into Scandia, and then eventually head north where it would meet up with the Swedish Immigrant Trail. At that point, you could take the trail, connect to the Sunrise Prairie Trail, head north, and end up on the William Munger Trail all the way up to Duluth. Of course, that means you really want to bike that far, but But it's an exciting opportunity to make part of this connection. We are asking for just a 1 mile piece of that from the Scandia Village Center towards William O'Brien State Park. There's widespread support for extending the gateway. We have numerous letters from businesses and associations, and here is a few of them. We've got 55 support letters that have been sent to Representative Detmer and Senator Housley. We also have a petition going on the Browns Creek, the Gateway Browns Creek Trail Association website. We've got 869 names on that petition. So it's been quite popular. The city of Scandia has donated $100,000 worth of land for the trailhead and driveway. We also have an additional $35,000 of allocated funds from the DNR, which is remaining from the engineering that we did for this 1 mile section of trail. So this 1 mile section of trail has been fully engineered. Scandia is a great place to start this project. It's a highly popular cycling destination. There is a real need for off-road trails that can access that can be accessed and safety for families and children into William O'Brien State Park. And we'll also bring William O'Brien State Park visitors to Scandia, where they can access tot lots, sports fields, restaurants, and of course, Minnesota's Swedish immigrant heritage, the Gamble Garden. Here is a section of trail in red from Scandia Village Center to the north end of William O'Brien State Park. This is 2 miles of trail. Our bonding bill is asking for this 1 mile section. All of this land has been purchased by the DNR. The DNR has a master plan for William O'Brien State Park that was developed in 2007 to include a corridor for the Gateway Trail to extend through the park. The park has also is enhancing their trail needs for ADA accessibility and are working on paved trail systems that will complement our trail section that will eventually meet the park. The DNR staff has also examined a number of possible routes for the trail, and future funding will allow for completion of that engineering. This is the section of trail that we're asking for in the bonding bill. This is that 1 mile section that takes you from Scandia Village Center to Oak Hill Road. The trail then will go under Oak Hill Road with a tunnel, and the Oak Hill Road will need to be realigned to accommodate that tunnel. Our request is for $2,960,000. Of that, $500,000 is for the trail, this 1 mile piece of trail. $1 million is for the tunnel, and $1,460,000 is for the Oak Hill realignment. Thank you so much. Are there any questions?
Thank you, members. Do we have any questions for Representative Detmer and his testifiers? Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Detmer. Just want to thank you for bringing this forward. I think it's a really neat project that's going on. The Gateway Trail starts way in St. Paul and close to the Capitol. It's and then runs through I think Hollins, Thompson, Fishers, my district, Shelley Christensen with the Browns Creek, and then Wozlik's, and then on to yours. But it's a neat project, and it's good to hear with the locals. You know, with the change in the world with these e-bikes too, the ranges are really changing. It's quite common. I have a neighbor, they'll hop on these e-bikes and they'll go to Stillwater for lunch, so it's quite possible that they'd come up to your community in Scandia and have a lunch or something. But, you don't know, and then tying into the Munger Trail, it's kind of neat that you had the presentation with the rail line that Chair Murphy was bringing today, because it's kind of the same thing. You know, it's just another connection. But, thank you, Representative Detmer, for bringing this forward.
Thank you, Chair Lutley. Representative Detmer, is there a local match for this request?
Mr. Chair, I think the mayor could answer that. I don't think there is.
Madam Mayor?
Yeah, no, there is not, other than the city has dedicated that lot for the site for the trailhead.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Seeing no other question, Representative Detmer, any quick closing comments?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and committee members, and thank you, Representative Lilly, for your comments. Just on a personal note, my 34 years of teaching and coaching at Forest Lake High School, I taught an outdoor education course. And we spent a lot of time down in Scandia going through the Wilma Bryan State Park. We'd cycle all the way down there, and we'd have an orienteering units and cross-country ski units and cycling. And it's a great area for our students from surrounding schools. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for listening to our bill today. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Representative. Chairman Lee, can I make just one quick comment?
Please proceed quickly.
Yes, I just wanted to notate that I did talk to the DNR and to the Parks and Trails Council of Minnesota, and they did let me know that generally there are no community donations for a state trail.
Thank you, Ms. Philby. Next up, Representative Baker, House File 3111. Please proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members. Dave Baker. House File 3111 is actually kind of a revisit here for the Glacial Lakes Trail. We thought we had enough funding in the bonding bill 4 years ago. The DNR let us know late last year that they actually ran out of money to get the trail completed, which was a disappointment. Through Sibley State Park, we finished the probably the most intensive part of the trail, and it ends in a swamp right now because we haven't been able to connect the two. So with me, Mr. Chairman, today is Mr. Randy Allslaven to give you an update from the trail, where it's at, what our request is, and I'll wrap it up then. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Allslaven, please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Randy Allslaven, and I'm a volunteer with Sibley State Park Improvement Association. With me today are Ron Erpelding and Dave Lace, who are also Sibley State Park Improvement Association volunteers. Thank you for allowing us to appear before you today to provide testimony in support of House File 3111. Our purpose is to encourage your committee to include this file in the 2022 bonding bill. This bonding request is for the final phase of the trail project to connect Sibley State Park to the Glacial Lake State Trail. This request is for $4.75 million and will complete the final 4.2 miles of the trail. This project is ready to go. Work completed from two prior bonding approvals, $1.3 million in 2014 and $2.6 million in 2017, has resulted in land acquisition from nine private landowners, two trail easements from private landowners, a joint powers agreement with the New London Spicer District 345 for construction of a trail corridor, and a 320-foot tunnel under U.S. Highway 71, and finally the completion of 3 miles of trail within Sibley State Park. Late December 2021, Canyon High County and the DNR approved a cooperative agreement to complete a $300,000 project for a river crossing at the middle fork of the Crow River for the trail. Finally, engineering design work for this trail is being worked on as we speak. This trail is ready to go. Connecting people to Minnesota's recreational outdoor treasures has never been more important than today. Two of these treasures are Sibley State Park, located west of New London, and the 36-plus mile Glacial Lakes State Trail running from Wilmer to Richmond, Minnesota. Sibley State Park is a destination state park. It ranks as one of the top 12 most visited parks in the state, with over 250,000 visitors per year. Almost all of the campers using the park come with their bikes attached. This multi-use trail will create an enhanced health and fitness opportunity for everyone. It will improve safe access for students and others to and from New London Spicer Elementary, Middle, and High School. The trail will provide an enhanced and safer biking and hiking access for students to outdoor environmental education experiences at Sibley State Park and the Glacial Lake State Trail. Tourism is already an important industry in Canyon High County. Each year, the leisure and hospitality industry in the county accounts for over $76 million in gross sales, generates $4.6 million in sales tax, and accounts for over 1,600 jobs in the county. Connecting Sibley State Park and the Glacial Lakes Trail will have a positive impact to tourism in Kanawha County and the entire west central area of Minnesota. This trail project has wide support in the area, including the Kanawha County Board of Commissioners, the cities of New London, Spicer, Wilmer, and Painesville, the New London Spicer School District, Kanawha County and City of Wilmer Economic Development Commission, Kanawha County Convention and Visitors Bureau, the New London Chamber of Commerce, Wilmer Bikes, Parks and Trails Council of Minnesota, and Sibley State Park Improvement Association. In closing, I'd like to thank Representative Baker and Senator Lang for their support, with special thanks to Representative Baker for sponsoring this request. Also like to mention the support of Parks and Trails Council of Minnesota. They have been extremely helpful in putting together this project and in support of this project. Thank you also to you, Mr. Chairman, and to the committee for this opportunity. We ask for your support to include House File 3111 in the 2022 bonding bill. I stand for questions at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Elsleben. Members, any questions for Representative Baker or his testifier? Seeing none, Representative Baker, any closing comments?
Mr. Chairman, very quickly again, I want to also, as you can tell, this has been a work in progress. It's been a number of years. I want to thank some of my former senators and representatives as well. This has been a very bipartisan thing with former Senators Johnson and Coonan, along with former Representatives Swatsky and Vogel, have all worked on this thing. And I want to be able to bring this final leg together and finish this thing off. And I really do appreciate your support at the end, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, all members.
Thank you, Representative Baker. Next up is Representative Daniels, House File 3123. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee and committee, for hearing House File 3123 today. It's a very short bill and a very short distance, but very important to Faribault. If this part of the trail is finished, it would actually link the northern part of Faribault to the downtown part of the city and provide economic development for our downtown. It is only short distance, like I said, but for safety reasons to keep walkers off of Highway 3 and keep bikers and walkers off of Highway 3, the trail has to go underneath the railroad, and that's the reason for the higher expense. I have a testifier today who's been involved in this for a number of years. His name is Marvin Trandum, 45-year resident of Faribault, and he'll further explain House File 3123 and more of the history of the trail. He's a former Faribault Flyers Bike Club member, our president, and a board member on the Parks and Trail Council of Minnesota. With your permission, Chair Lee, we will turn it over to my testifier.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. Mr. Trandum, please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Marvin Trandum. I'm an active bicyclist, road bike particularly. This segment is near and dear to my heart. It connects the Faribault City Trails with the Milltown Trail. with a connection, people be able to go from Faribault along this current, what's developed is, you know, the Cicada Trail all the way to Mankato, which is a 40-mile segment along to Minneota State Park and beyond. To the east, certain parts of it have not been completed in the Milltown section, but it ultimately is planned to go all the way to Red Wing. With this segment, it would connect us from the Milltown to our current city trail. Our city trail goes into Faribault Alexander Park, water facility, sprinkler facility, an ice arena, softball park, as well as down to downtown along the Strait and Cannon River valleys, which are very picturesque here within Faribault. This is a complex because the features of this, cutting a hole through a railroad bridge, that's why the cost is so much more. But it does provide a safety to bicyclists because there's just no way to access from the trail, the Milltown Trail to the city trail without this access. Otherwise, we're on Highway 3 and we're getting lower shoulders that are getting shorter and shorter as the bridge areas right there for the railroad. And I want to just thank you for giving us the opportunity here to speak about this segment.
Thank you, Mr. Trendum. Members, any questions for Representative Daniels or his testifier? Seeing none, Representative Daniels, any closing comments?
Yes, thank you, Chair Lee. That section of the trail actually is extremely important. The Rice County Fairgrounds is on one side of the railroad. The main highway is on the other side with the other part of the bicycle trail on that side. So when we get to fair season, it's a lot of traffic up there. So this would really be a big safety factor for us. And I appreciate you taking the time to hear the bill and look forward to more discussions down the road. Thank you again.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. Next up, we have Representative Lipper, doesn't have a house file, but it is Revisor Code CG271-2. Please proceed, Representative Lipper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for the opportunity to present some technical changes to the Milltown Trail bonding request. This summer, the bonding tour stopped in Northfield to hear about the Milltown Trail. Many cyclists in the area turned out to show their support, and work on the Milltown Trail connections has been ongoing, as for many trails in the state. We're proposing a couple technical changes through this bill. In the first portion, the language change allows some unspent dollars in an existing bonding appropriation to carry over and still be spent. With COVID, there's been some difficulty connecting with landowners for easements, so the process has been delayed a bit. We're asking that the appropriation be extended to 12/31 of 2026, and that in addition to acquisition and design, the use of the money be expanded to include development of the trail in the reauthorization. And second, for the proposal you heard about this summer, we needed to clarify the language so it clearly states the funds are going to the DNR rather than the city of Northfield. The mayor of Northfield is with me to say more about the project as a whole, so I'll turn it to Mayor Rhonda Pownell.
Thank you,
Mayor Pownell, please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Representative Lippert, Chair Lee and Vice Chair Murphy, and members of the Capital Investment Committee. My name is Rhonda Pownell, the Mayor of Northfield. The City of Northfield is requesting $7.5 million in state bond funds to complete the acquisition, pre-design, design, construction, and development of the Milltown State Trail between Riverside Park in the City of Northfield and the Waterford Historic Bridge in Waterford Township. This project is foundationally important for the Milltown State Trail future connection to the Sakata, Singing Hills Trail to the south, and Cannon Valley Trail to our northeast. There is significant progress. being made on both of these trails. The Northfield section will pave the way for a safe route in and through our community when those sections are completed. Northfield is a historic riverfront town, and it is a destination for visitors across Minnesota. The amenities of hotels, restaurants, ecological significance, and much more make our community a key area of interest in the state of Minnesota. This is a significant regional community and economic development opportunity for the state for all Minnesotans to enjoy. The city of Northfield has recently completed a 30% preliminary design and cost estimate for 6.5 miles of Milltown State Trail corridor in collaboration with Minnesota DNR from Riverside Park in Northfield to Waterford Bridge in Waterford Township. That was made possible through the state's past bonding authorization. The city has plans for street reconstruction in 2024 capital plan that makes this a window of opportunity for the city to participate in the costs to build Milltown's trail and match state dollars with $3.2 million of local funding. The city would begin construction design as soon as initial state bonding requirements are met. The design would be completed in 2022 and 2023. Project bidding would occur in 2023 with construction planned in 2024. Most of the project area is owned by the city of Northfield. The city is in negotiations with cooperative owners on the remaining right-of-way to be acquired. The city has been working with Carlton and the DNR and has identified a feasible route along the edge of Carlton's Arboretum. The Arb is open to public use year-round and is one of the best places in the state for wildlife and bird watching, running, skiing, or walking any time of the year. The Milltown State Trail route takes advantage of the Arb's beauty while protecting its sensitive ecological areas and provides a much-needed safe crossing of a major highway corridor that runs comes into the city from the east. We are very confident on delivering this project in a timely manner, on time and on budget. Locally, this project also advances the City of Northfield's Climate Action Plan, establishing a goal of being 100% carbon-free community by 2040. The Climate Action Plan includes the intention to build 10 miles of additional bike and pedestrian infrastructure. Expansion of city trails is also an equity strategy for having alternative transportation to vehicles that is particularly beneficial to economically disadvantaged members of our community, including traditionally underserved communities of color. Thank you so much for your service to our great start, to our great state, and your consideration of this important regional project. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Members, any questions for Representative Lippert or his testifiers? Seeing none, Representative Lippert, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, for the opportunity to talk about the Milltown's Trail again and to present these technical adjustments.
Thank you, Representative Lippert. The last bill on the agenda today is Representative Erdahl. We don't have a House file number yet, but as Advisor Code CG273, please proceed, Representative Erdahl.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And first, I want to compliment you on the exemplary job that you did today in moving this right along. Still have extra time. I could probably go 15, 20 minutes. But by the way, we do have a number now. The bill is House File 4041. And just wanted to comment that in Meeker County, our recent survey indicated that we have a high incidence of people, shall we say, in less than exemplary physical condition. Now, the mayor is accepted from that. We have no family-centered facilities available for recreation. And this project is important for health, for economic development, and the viability of the community. As Mayor Johnson will explain to you, the city is grateful for the $5 billion that was included in the previous bonding bill, but for various reasons that the mayor will explain, another $2 million is needed. And so with that, I would ask Mayor Keith Johnson, my high school band teacher, to present.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. Mr. Mayor, please identify yourself and proceed. Representative Erdahl or Ms. Nash is the mayor on.
Can you hear me?
Yep, please proceed. Mr. Mayor, please identify yourself.
Okay, I'm Mayor Keith Johnson, the city of Litchfield, Minnesota. And to Chair Lee, Vice Chair Murphy, and also to Representative Erdahl and the Capital Investment Committee, thank you for letting me be a part of this today. In the past 2 years, the 2020 and 21, because of the COVID-19, and now the beginning of 2022, with inflation of building and labor costs, have greatly affected and stalled the building of our Wellness Rec Center in the Litchfield area, school district, and our demographic area. The City of Litchfield is grateful for the $20.25 million bond allocation to help us build our proportion of the Wellness Recreation Center. The Litchfield School District will be asking the voters to approve a $13.5 million 8-lane competitive recreation pool on November 8th general election. This will be the school district's contribution to the Community Wellness Recreation Center facility. Together with the City of Litchfield and the Litchfield School District, the proposed Wellness Center in Litchfield will house that 8-lane competitive recreation pool with a 4-station field house, with bathrooms, locker rooms, community education office, community rooms, and large lobby area. Targeted price at this time is about $28 million for the entire facility. Also in February of 2020, the Minnesota House of Representatives, House File 3674, gave the city permission to seek a 0.5% sales tax to match the $5 million bond over 20 years of the at the presidential general election November 3rd, 2020 to build this wellness recreation facility. But because of COVID, the city decided to postpone the 0.5% sales tax ballot question in November and will ask the voters to approve this 0.5% tax on the November 8th, 2022 general election ballot. In 2020, with the $5 million bond, and if we would have asked for voter approval of the 0.5% sales tax match, the city then budgeted $10 million to build the city side project, which was doable without city residential and business property tax increase for our side of that project. Now, with inflation and 2 years later, we are looking at a $12 to $14 million budget to it, that has been increased because of the inflated building and labor costs. The city voters need to pass a 0.5% sales tax on November 8th ballot to help match the $5 million bond for even us to consider the building of this facility with the school district in 22-23 and keep the city residential and business property taxes down to a minimum. The residential and business property tax on the $13.5 million 8-lane pool will be spread over the entire school district property taxpayers. In order to ease the stress of this inflation, the city of Litchfield is seeking and asking the 22 bonding committee for an additional $2 million to the already acquired $20.5 million bond to receive a total of $7 million to defray the rise in building and labor costs. The city can match the $7 million bond with the 0.5% sales tax over the next 20 years if it's passed on November 8th. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members, any questions for Representative Erdahl or the testifier? Representative Lilly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mayor, I was wondering how your band members were in the 70s.
Well, they were excellent members, and Representative Erdahl was an exemplary member of our marching band. I mean, he was just perfectly straight and row his ranks, and his all that stuff was just perfectly straight, and he played a mean instrument.
Mr. Chair and Mayor, I thought maybe he was the one in the front with the baton.
Oh, yeah, he was a flag bearer, too, yes. He was multifaceted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Representative Erdahl, any closing comments?
I'll just like to thank the committee for their attention to this, for their support of the project in the past, and hopefully continuing into the future. It's a big deal, I think, for the people of Litchfield and Meeker County. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl, for House File 4041. Members, that ends our agenda for today. The next meeting is Thursday, March 10th. On the agenda will be several economic development related bills, which will be heard on an informational basis only. The meeting is adjourned.